This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Bean Cooley. Two cable TV series that drew a lot of attention during their first seasons are back Sunday night to start a second year. One hoping to build on the momentum from some positive late-season buzz, the other hoping to overcome some negative buzz from last year's cliffhanger. AMC's The Killing started strong, with raves from critics and an impressively loyal core of viewers. But in the final episode of the year, when it left its season-long murder mystery intentionally unresolved, most fans felt angry, even betrayed. HBO's Game of Thrones, on the other hand, took a bit longer to get established and to get as much attention. But thanks to some strong performances and a few bold strokes of plot, Game of Thrones, based on the popular George R.R. Martin fantasy novels of neighboring kingdoms at war, kept building in intensity and in viewership all the way to the season finale. That finale ended with the fiery birth of a dragon, but by then, that was the only part of Game of Thrones that was dragon. The Killing, on the other hand, seemed to almost limp to the end of season one, spending entire episodes on red herrings or subplot detours. But now, Sunday night on their respective networks, these two shows return, and they both revert to old habits. The Killing, in other words, starts strong again. The central question from last year, who killed Rosie Larson, quickly comes back into play. And with it, there are new leads, new confrontations, even some new characters introduced. However, AMC has requested an embargo of so many plot points that there's virtually no scene I can play without revealing too much about the fate of the show's characters and investigation. So I'll play along, which means I won't play a clip. What I will say, though, is by the time the 2-hour premiere is over, we learn a lot, and many questions indeed are answered. But with some of the answers come some new questions, such as, why didn't this clue or this witness surface before? Does this person's behavior really make sense? And finally, is it really worth caring about these characters all over again? My answer to that last question is yes, but you'll have to answer that one for yourself. Whether to commit to these ongoing complicated narrative TV series, and when, and for how long, is a very subjective choice. For example, it took me about 5 episodes last season to get fully into Game of Thrones. That's when Peter Dinklage, as a formidable member of the Lannister clan, finally won me over. And I wasn't alone. Later that year, he won an Emmy. By the time season one was over, there were a handful of characters who entertained me consistently, and most of them, though not all, even managed to survive to show up again for season two. There's Dinklage, of course, who returns to the Lannister kingdom more influential than ever, thanks to a scroll that gives him power by proxy. He reveals that scroll, and his new role, by barging into a high council session presided over by his power-hungry sister, played by Lena Headey. It's just the latest move in their very high-stakes game of sibling rivalry.
What are you doing here? This is the small council.
Yes, well, I do believe the hand of the king is welcome at all small council meetings.
Our father is hand of the king.
Yes, but in his absence...
Your father has named Lord Tyrion to serve as hand in his stead while he fights...
Out! All of you, out! I'd like to know how you tricked Father into this.
If I were capable of tricking Father, I'd be Emperor of the world by now. You brought this on yourself.
I've done nothing.
Quite right, you did nothing. When your son called for Ned Stark's head. Now the entire North has risen up against us.
I tried to stop it.
Did you? You failed. That bit of theater will haunt our family for a generation.
Robb Stark is a child.
Who's won every battle he's fought? Do you understand we're losing the war?
What do you know about warfare?
Nothing. But I know people. And I know that our enemies hate each other almost as much as they hate us.
Season 2 of Game of Thrones gets more expansive, even literally. It covers more ground, roams new corners of the kingdom, even introduces new characters. But the old habit to which Game of Thrones reverts is an overly patient fascination with its own world and all the people in it. Once again, at spots, I found myself not knowing who certain characters were, and not caring, especially when central stories were sidelined. But both these series, in their second seasons, are heading somewhere. The Killing will solve its mystery. And Game of Thrones, before this season is out, will go to war. As a TV viewer who's already watching too many novelistic shows each week, I say let it happen quickly. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hersfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Roberta Sherrock directs the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bean Cooley.